LNB's audio diary for the 22nd of May, 2024. It is a Wednesday. Wednesday? Yes, it's a Wednesday. Had to think about it. I am on my way to the dump, then into town, and if there's time, I gotta run to Wally World to pick up some stuff and then get Mrs. Bronx. So kind of puttered around today, really dragged my feet. I just, you know, a couple minutes ago just finished doing the cat box. I like to get that done just before I go to the dump because I can get rid of it then. No sense keeping it around, right? So hoy, it's a really beautiful day actually. A little windy, probably heard that on the mic, but it's overall, you know, it's bright, it's sunny, but not too hot. It's really nice. I can't really complain. The nights still get down in the 30s, around freezing temps, but they don't stay there long, right? You know, if it hits 32 or 31 at night, it's like just before dawn, so there's no frost or anything. And I'm not even certain it's gotten that cold, but I've seen temps like that in the last week or so. Sorry about the wind. Oy. So it's nice weather. I took advantage of it to do a little something outside. The house itself anyway. About 3 days ago, our internet went out. It was like 9 o'clock at night. It goes out, and there was just something strange about how it went out, right? It's hard to explain, but you've heard me complain about our internet access here enough to know that, it goes off enough, and I've gotten kind of used to how it goes out. This time, it went out a little stranger. Just the indicators on the modem were a little odd. I was like, what is this, right? So I was thinking, oh man, well, either it's our usual outage, you know, our usual nonsense, or, I gotta go back to the house. I forgot my wallet and I have to hit the store. It goes out, right? And I'm thinking, something weird about this, but I don't know. My mind went to our own cable connection outside the house, right? Now, a little, you know, winding the clock back here a bit, several years ago, maybe four years ago, something like that. I happened to go outside. We hardly ever go in the backyard. I know it sounds weird, but we almost never go in the backyard. And as a result, I didn't notice that the cable, which is strung along the bottom of the house, right? It's okay. The cable comes up the road underground, right? And it comes to a junction box, and that junction box then sends it into our property underground, and then right at the house it comes above ground. Oh, hold on a second. Okay, that was Mrs. Bronx, and I drove around a loop and I came right back to the house, ran in, got my wallet. Now I'll go to the dump. Okay, so yeah, about 3-4 years ago, I go around outside in the back of the house and I see that cable, which comes up out of the ground and then gets strung along the length of the house and then comes in where we have the router. Okay, makes it easier than trying to run cable inside the house, right? Okay, well and good. But the guy who put it up, I don't know, he was in a hurry or slapdash or whatever. You know, it's turn and burn for this sort of stuff. And they don't spend a lot of time or attention on what they're doing. So he just has the cable out and uses a staple gun to staple it to the side of the house. It's aluminum siding. And in some spots he got the wood under the siding, in some spots he didn't, right? So about three, 4 years ago, or was it four, 5 years? No, I think it's like 4 years ago. I went outside in the back and I see this cable is just draping on the ground, right? And it had all come off the where he had stapled it. Okay, that's no good. So I spent hours getting the, I had these cable ties in the house, not cable ties like you'd think for like, you know, cable management. They're meant for securing cables to a wall, right? And I had a bunch of them, so I used those along with some screws that I had, and I made sure I found wood studs underneath all the places where it had to go in, and I went all the way down the length, and it's, I don't know, it's probably like 30 feet, and it was hard. It was actually really hard because I was doing it manually. I didn't have an electric screwdriver thing or a drill with a drill bit. I was doing it by hand, so it was a big job, and I did, you know, I put it all in there. All right, so we flash forward now to, what did I say, 3 days ago. Power goes off, or not power, but the internet goes off, and I go around outside. It's you know, because it's in my head that there's something, it might be the cable. I go out and it's a repeat of, you know, 4 years ago. The cable's all off, it's all hanging all over the place, and on top of all that, there's a small junction box mounted to the house that manages the cable coming, you know, from the road to us, right? And that's all been, you know, it's all open, right? It's just, it's one of these cheap one plastic ones that just clips closed, and it just doesn't clip closed anymore, right? Now this is not directly in the sun, right? Most of the day, only in very late afternoons does that get any sun there. It's in the back of the house. So, you know, it's not like it was sun damaged, right? But it's still, the weather hits there. Snow in the winter, snow and ice slide off the roof. And I'm sure that's what dragged the cables off, the cable tie things that were there. So, okay, that's not pretty. That's not great. So I went out yesterday, and it was late in the day, and I picked up some, you know, cable, not ties, but like staple things. They look like long staples, but you hammer them in, you know what I mean. You hammer them in, and these things have, you know, like plastic little inserts there that are for cables, right? And so these things are much better than what I had before, because what I had before was really for inside the house. And I took those, and today, I also bought some, when I was there, I also bought some zip ties, some really strong zip ties that are rated for outdoor use. And I took those things, I used the zip ties to close up that little junction box that popped open and won't close, right? And I did that, and then I went down the line with the cable and those staple things. I hammered them all in, all the way down the line, nice and tight, really good. Didn't take me very long, a lot faster when you're hammering as opposed to screwing things in by hand. So that went really, really fast, and it was good, but somehow it still wiped me out, still kicked my ass, right? Because right there along the house, the it's all gravel, right? And you can't really sit on your knees, you know, get on your knees there. You have to have some kind of rug or a piece of cardboard or something, and I didn't have anything with me when I went out there. So I'm squatting on my heels, going down the line, putting all these things in. And I put it in about, I don't know, 20 of them. So that actually wiped me out. I'm not, well, I was never a strong guy, and I was never a tough guy, but I'm worse on both fronts these days. So anyway, I did that this morning, but everything's nice and tight. It looks really, really good now. Hopefully it'll last the winter. I don't know. We'll see, right? We'll see. Hold on. Okay. That's the dump. Guy pulled up right next to me. He's got like a whole truck bed of old, I don't know, it's like chicken wire or something, you know, for like making little enclosures or fence things. I don't know, weird, there's a lot of it. Anyway, I have a shirt on just for the sake of the sun. I gotta take that off before I go because it's too much sitting in the car. So yeah, I did all that this morning and I got really, really wiped out from it. Ugh. And let's see. This afternoon, I decided to finally post up. I had a whole bunch of audio diary updates, entries, episodes, whatever, that I hadn't posted. So I did those. I posted those to the feed. But I also always post those to the Gopher site. You know, I still have the Gopher site, and I still update it with episodes when they come out. But it was also time, because it's been so long since I updated the Gopher site. There's a whole bunch of new episodes there. They're nothing you haven't heard. If you're listening to this now, you've already heard all those. But they hadn't been posted there for, since the beginning of the year, actually. So I posted a whole bunch of them there. And I collected all of the episodes up for last year, 2023, and I put those in a tar file. If you don't know what that is, that's like a zip file. And that is available on the Gopher site now, all in one. You just download the zip file and get the whole thing for the year. No one does, to my knowledge, no one ever has, but that's okay. I don't mind that. Those are in Speaks format, and Speaks format, is a really small codec, though it has been largely deprecated with other things that have come along that are, I guess they do a better job overall, but this works really well for me. And the sound quality isn't that bad. All things considered, it's not that bad, especially for the file size. The file sizes are tiny. You know, I'll have, I don't know, like a 50-minute or an hour episode where I'm just yammering on, and it's only like, I don't know, like 7 or maybe 8 megabytes total, and the sound quality is not too bad. I mean, it's my sound quality is garbage anyway, so whatever. But anyway, I did that today. That took a long time because there was a lot of uploading and all this other stuff, and I had other stuff to upload, and so it took took the whole afternoon basically. With my wonderful internet, which is back, okay? See how I'm dovetailing this around? Our internet came on, I went back and I looked, and I was like, oh man, look at that junction box, it's all open and exposed to the elements, and probably has been for months, and blah, 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 and the cables are dripping. We must have a real bad situation back here. So I called the cable company to try to schedule someone to come out and take a look at it, fix it up. But when I talked to the service person, who was actually really nice, she goes, she checks some things. She says, oh, there's actually an outage in your area. Oh, so it wasn't me, right? It isn't our equipment. It went out looking weird because it's a weird outage. And indeed it was. It was out for about a day and a half, right? No explanation. They never tell you anything. So, long story short, which actually was a short story long, the internet is back on and everything is all tightened and all the cable is, you know, secured the way it should be in the back. And that's my whole story, my latest saga with our internet. Very interesting, right? Yeah. But for a while there, it was really bothering me, so I went out. I took care of that. That was good. But man, did it kick my ass. It really did. I am not young anymore, and I have never been in good shape, so I'm in worse shape than I've ever been right now. That's a fact. Boy. So, yeah, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough of that. I did a good thing today. I should feel good about myself. Let's try to keep a good thought, right? Let's do that. So, anyway, what have I been up to? I have been working on Chapter 20 of All He Surveys, Volume 2. And that has been a mighty challenge. I've had to not just rewrite the whole chapter. That would be one thing. But I had to structure this thing because it's an important chapter that has that's going to need some very... it needs careful thought, right? And so it's been very slow going. This has been the hardest chapter yet that I think it's been the hardest chapter yet that I've written, period. It's been very hard and has dragged on for longer than I expected it to, or wanted it to, I should say. So yeah, there's been all of this fun, and jocularity. Working on that, working on the game. I have been working on the game. I'm getting closer to putting the base rulebook into a publishable form, right? A form that I wouldn't mind putting up on like DriveThruRPG or someplace. It's not there yet. And to look at it, you'd say, well, it's a long way off. But it's the writing that I'm mostly interested in and mostly concerned with. I need to really expand on the chapter on space vessels and space combat. That really actually needs to be more thought out. We need to put it in a format that makes it easier to work with, easier to understand. Probably, you know, expand it a little, you know, expand it in the directions of, upgrades to your vessel, how much it costs to buy one, all of this stuff, right? And right now, I just have the bare bones that I needed to test the game system, but, I'm not even certain those are really, you know, I don't know if I like those, frankly, I just don't. So we'll have to see on that. But that's about the only section that I really feel like I need to work on. Now, obviously, I have to go through and read the whole thing and really edit it and really, you know, really get everything cleaned up from a text standpoint. And then I will attempt to use Scribus to make a halfway decent looking PDF of this thing, and that's what I'm going to do. That's what I intend to do for the base rulebook. However, while I might put the base rulebook up on my website, davidcollinsrivera.com, for free download for a while, perhaps. Maybe a slightly different version of it, but while I might do that, and that with more or less the latest rules, I'm not going to release or put the game, the base rulebook, up on anywhere until I also have a little supplemental material to go with it. So like a book of games. I had an idea to do something like, 101 game hooks and maybe 101 characters, right? Character, you know, NPCs in Star Drifter are really easy to come up with, stat-wise, right? That's really simple to do. And I think a lot of games now, they have, you know, standard arrays, or they have other things that make it a lot faster and easier to roll up characters. But in Star Drifter, because I have, a system set up for NPCs, for creating NPCs on the fly, it's actually really fast and really easy. And it would not be a great stretch to create a book like that. But I would like to go the extra mile on it and have halfway decent characters, you know, like not just their stats, but the characters. And I'd like the book to reflect the adaptability, modularity maybe. Is that the right? I don't know if modularity is what I mean, but in Star Drifter, because the characters can have different stats, different types of NPCs can have different stats, every NPC who's in the book can have any of those stats if you want them to, right? They can be just an average person, or they can be an expert in their field. And any one of those would be possible for any of the characters there. And I think it'd be really cool to come up with a bunch of really different and kooky characters. Not kooky, but a few of them maybe. But useful characters that can be used in space games, or even maybe a cyberpunk setting or something like that. That, I think, would be a good product to put out there, you know. And the game hooks idea, I would like the game hooks and the character book to kind of work together. That is, the game hooks might mention somebody, a character, right? And the character will appear in the 101 character books, right? And while it won't be a repeat of what's in one, but maybe somebody else is referring to that character, and that character is in the other book. So if you take those two books together, you have the beginnings of a nice setting, actually. You know, you have a bunch of NPCs that your characters can interact with, and a bunch of ideas for adventures they could have where they might encounter these NPCs, right? And to me, that would be very useful, not just for Star Drifter, but for almost any other game system that would have characters like this could appear. So, you know, in my mind, that could be, certainly science fiction, almost any kind of science fiction set in the future, whether or not it's space or time travel or whatever. Also, cyberpunk could probably fit into cyberpunk storylines. Not all of them, but some of them would probably be good just for something set in modern day today, for a spy story, or, you know, spy game, or, you know, adventures or detectives or something like that. And having characters that are just readily available, people can open the book and find one with stats that can be adjusted to any setting, right? Or any, not setting, but any power level for the characters in your game, that might be useful, right? Well, I'm not going to give a bunch of stats for other games, right? I'm just not going to do that. I don't know other games well enough to know how well it would translate, but I can absolutely do it for Star Drifter and, you know, give people the impression of how they might want to do it. You know, have that level of flexibility for these characters in their game system, whatever it happens to be. Just, you know, maybe a few ideas at the beginnings. But I don't know. But if I put those three things out at the same time, I think that would be a good idea, you know? The base rule book, game hooks, characters, and I'd like a book with adventures, right? A couple of them. I don't even know if they'd be one-shots, but they'd be shorter adventures that players can, you know, run in a night or a couple of nights and then, you know, just go forward with that. And the adventures might hook in to the other stuff too, right? So there might be mention of, you know, again, just passing reference, but mention of other NPCs, or maybe some of those NPCs can appear in the adventures, that sort of thing. So, to me, that would be something that might be of interest to some players, where, you know, they see the base rule book, they pick that up, and there's some other materials that can go along with it, and they can take a look at those and say, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe this has got some merit to it. I don't know. If someone wants to play the game, I'd like to provide, you know, supplemental material that they would enjoy seeing. But I do think that the base rulebook needs to be a little more generic going into this until an official setting book comes out as a supplement. Not as built into the game, right? Not built into the base rulebook, but as a supplement. I think that's probably the best way to go. And because, and the reason I say that is because if people aren't invested in the setting, a lot of times they don't have any interest in it. But people who are playing campaigns or playing games set in a universe that they really like. Say they're playing Star Wars. They, you know, so they're going to want, you know, they're going to eat up material left and right. They're going to constantly be needing new material if it's a regular campaign system. So this could be something that could be plugged into a Star Wars game, perhaps. Traveler, perhaps. Not directly. They'd have to look at the characters as described and then just, you know, play them in a way that makes sense for that game system. But I've never found that to be a tremendous challenge myself. So long as you have some information about this character, their background, their personality, their appearance, that sort of thing, they can almost always be, you know, worked on the fly into another game. That's just something that I've seen. And again, if you're running games on a regular basis, you're going to want supplemental material, most likely. I would use it myself. In fact, I do use it in our game that we play. We try to do it every 2 weeks, but scheduling is what it is. But we'll say our you know, that game, I do use artwork and maps and stuff that have been produced for other games that I find online and for free. You know, just do an image search. And I use those and adapt those. I also create my own. So I'm not immune to that. Even though everything else about the game is of my own creation, I still need material. I still need stuff from, you know, outside my own little workshop, if you want to put it that way, in my head. You know, my own little creative space. I still have a supplemental need for that stuff. Especially artwork or anything art-related, because I can't do that at all, you know. I do create some maps and stuff because that's easy enough, but, you know, it's tough. You do run through stuff. So having materials there that people could plug into their own campaigns, you know, even just to look at it, you know, they may not even use it, but they might buy it to look at it and, you know, get some ideas for their game, or, I don't know, there are people that just collect stuff and they seem to not be happy unless they're spending money on things. But hey, if you got it and you want to spend it, who am I to judge? If you want to spend it on me, no judgment at all, except yeah, thumbs up. So anyway, yeah, that's the latest plan. Let's see. I think I'm gonna have to change the numbering on this version, the version that's gonna go out. Right now I'm at 0.05.3. I think I'm gonna leap right up to 6. 0.6.00. Because if it's gonna be released like that, I think it's worthy of a partial point release, maybe? What would you call that? I don't know. Anyway, those are my thinking. That's my thinking anyway. Those are what I've been working on. The game, the book, and beating myself up doing almost no work. How about that? Anyway, I guess that's it for today, because I am at the clinics to pick up Mrs. Bronx.